There's no ouzo talk without a bottle of ouzo, which is why we love the Greek Providor. Get a real taste of the very best produce that Greece has to offer. From olive oils and delicious artisan sweets, to unique spirits, earthy herbs and memorable wines. Visit thegreekprovador.com.au to see their amazing range. The Greek Providor, proud sponsors of the Ouzo Talk podcast. Craving something sweet? Head to Bay Vista Dessert Bar at Brighton Le Sands. Treat yourself to mouth-watering desserts, cakes, sweet and savory crepes, waffles, ice creams, and much, much more, all overlooking Sydney's iconic Brighton Beach. And now, also at Parramatta. Visit bayvista.com.au or drop on in for something sweet. Bay Vista Dessert Bar, proud sponsors of this episode of Ouzo Talk.
Sound is.
Well, what a start to the year this has been, Nick. How do you sum this up?
Mate, what a start. Nick Giannopoulos, mate, his episode was huge. It's gone viral. I just can't believe it. It really has, hasn't it?
I mean, huge numbers on Instagram with those clips that we were doing, weren't we? I mean, the first one was around him talking about the sacrifices that our parents and grandparents, I guess, made. And it just really resonated with people, didn't it?
Definitely. Look, and it was a good way to see another side to Nick as well, apart from his humour. And I think that's what people resonated with. So it was fantastic. You know, we love the guy and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, he just did such a fantastic job sort of encapsulating what our families really sort of went through during that period. And I mean, it's touched all of us, really. I mean, there was something like 100,000 of plays on that one particular video. But oddly enough, that wasn't even the highlight, was it, Nick?
No, it wasn't. Mate, I'll let you introduce it, but your heroes.
They really are. And mate, in case anyone hasn't seen, the guys at Radio Arvila, the satirical show on Antenna, who we are stable mates with, obviously, actually featured a clip from the podcast on the show. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, Nick Giannopoulos is actually talking about Radio Arvila and how much he loved that show, and obviously we love those guys as well. And we made it to the show. They played the clip.
That is huge. And what about all the comments and feedback afterwards? But yeah, it's such a massive, massive thing for us, isn't it?
It was unbelievable. It was great to hear all the comments. And I even had people reaching out to me from who had a similar last name to me. And, you know, I actually found some family, believe it or not, from
really?
Who are living in Italy and whatnot. So yeah, it was very interesting.
Well, maybe just tell, how big is Arvila?
Radio Arvila is absolutely massive in Greece. I mean, that is a show that everyone sort of watches Monday through Thursday. It resonates primarily with the younger sort of generation, but you know, those guys are getting on a bit now as well. So I mean, they're sort of in their 50s and whatnot. Have been hugely popular on TV. It is one of the biggest TV shows in Greece and really a bit of a model for content creators as well, in the sense that they own and run it. They've got their TV show, they've got radio stations. They're just doing such a fantastic job. So for us to have even a few minutes spent on that show, it's massive.
Mate, that's all. And what we're saying, it's the biggest show in Greece, isn't it, at this time?
I mean, some people would argue that, but yeah, for mine, without doubt. I mean, there aren't too many shows that actually resonate in that sort of way internationally, especially. I mean, everyone watches that show on YouTube now, you know, so it airs on it on Antenna,
yeah.
But people really do go and look for it and watch every week.
Definitely. And we've got a, open door policy. They said, come in, Thessaloniki, whenever you want. How's that for an invite?
That's it. Invite to Nick, invite to us, mate. It's fantastic. And, you know, they were kind enough to message us back as well. So, mate, we couldn't be any prouder, honestly.
No, well done, mate. Look, it's been a great start to the year. But it's only the beginning. I think we've got some amazing stories coming up. We've got some great sponsors on board as well, so we can't thank them enough.
Absolutely. So again, as you would have heard in the intro, MGM Martin, thank you to Michael Zylis and his team. Make sure you look at them if you're looking to buy, sell property, manage property. MGM Martin are the guys. Also, huge thanks, of course, to the Greek Providor, who we'll talk a little bit about a little bit later on.
We will, when we're having a drink.
In a few minutes. And then, of course, BEH Legal, Theodora Geniotis, who obviously is a great supporter of the show and has been on the show. Guys, we couldn't be doing this without you this year, so our sincere thanks for jumping on board.
No, good stuff. And look, Crystal from the Greek Providor listened to the show when she packs all her orders as well, so she reckons that the two-hour mark with Nick Giannopoulos was perfect because she just finished with the last package.
So hint, hint, right?
Yeah, she was quite grateful that we went for 2 hours this time.
Fantastic. Well, we'll try and keep it to around the same sort of thing again, Crystal. But look, on that note, we've got a great guest here again today, don't we, Nick?
We do, mate. Excellent. And I'm sure most of our listeners have heard of this person in Definitely. One way or another.
Definitely. All right, should I introduce her?
Definitely, mate.
All right. Well, our guest is the creative mind behind the hugely popular Instagram page, Are You Even Greek? By blending humor with tradition and nuance, the page has become a hub for celebrating our Greek identity with plenty of viral memes, videos, and more that people share with their friends, families, and partners every day. Mate, I can't tell you just how many times I've been forwarded one of her posts on a daily basis, whether it's my wife, a friend, even yourself. So, you know, that tells you everything you need to know. Yep. She doesn't put her face out on the page much because it really is all about the content, but we're going to put her voice out right now because she's here in the room with us. Christina, welcome to Uzo Talk.
Thank you for having welcome. Me, guys.
It's great to have honor. You here. Yeah. Awesome. Finally.
I'm a big fan of the show, so it was an honour to be asked to come on.
There Fantastic. You go. And Sweet. We've got some mutual friends as well, don't we? It turns
we
out.
Yeah, we do.
And some mutual heritage, as I just found out.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so proud of this now.
Tom's got so excited. Settle down, Tom.
Go Anytime on, tell you us. Find someone from Gedikira, you know, cheers to that.
Absolutely. Well, we won't jump the gun. Let's get into the episode properly. What do you think, Nick? Should
Let's
we do
go,
it?
Mate. Let's have a drink.
Yamas.
Yamas.
Cheers, everyone.
Welcome. Let's get a nice clink on that. All right.
Welcome, Christina.
And Nick, as always, do the honours for us. What have we got?
Mate, we're going again with the Kleomastika. How good is this
Kleos.
Stuff?
Kleos. It is good stuff. It is good stuff. You've had this before, haven't you?
I have. I was actually the first person in Australia to have a bottle. Effie, the creator of the brand, personally sent it to me. And it's when we were in lockdown too, so it was such a friend for me.
Even better.
I bet you didn't last long.
Hubby and I did enjoy it, and I've got another bottle now, and I'm still enjoying it, so it's a very nice drink.
Well, this is going to be the social lubricant for this episode, and thank you to our friends at the Greek Providor for sponsoring this portion of the episode. You can't have a Uzo Talk podcast without having some kind of alcohol,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You always need a drink.
Absolutely. Okay, well, on that note, Christina, what actually inspired you to start Are You Even Greek? Where did it all happen? Was this another lockdown baby?
It was actually before lockdown, just before everything happened. So I was on maternity leave. It was December 2019. Mm. And my brain was turning to mush. I'm naturally...
From all the alcohol, right?
Well, I was breastfeeding, so there was no alcohol. Yeah, it was pre-alcohol. But I needed a creative outlet. And my friend said to me, you know, you're always sending us these funny jokes, heaps of Greek history. You should channel it somewhere. Mm. And I just really did it for fun. And my friends probably told me to do it so I can stop sending them stuff, you know. And then I said, all right, fine, I'll give it a go. And it exploded overnight, especially once lockdown hit. I woke up to like thousands of notifications and I went, what's going on? My husband's like, I had to put your phone on silent because it was like bing, 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 bing.
That was going to be my question. What's he thinking at this point? Because he's thinking, my wife's phone's going off all the time.
Yeah.
Boyfriend, what's going on here?
No, so he knew. Like, he was a big supporter too. He said, yeah, do it. You're hilarious. He probably wanted me to stop sending him stuff too about Greek history. Listen, babe, you know what we invented? You know?
Okay, you were that person.
I'm that person. Yeah. So, like, I'll find something. Say, well, actually, you know, the wheel, that was us.
Yeah.
There you go. Classic.
Okay, so it was really about formalizing a lot of this stuff then.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It was sort of like just channel it somewhere. And it was really just a hobby that exploded. Mm. Then lockdown hit and we had lots of time on our hands. I think I was posting like 5 times a day at one stage. Wow. Like, I just had things to say. And all my frustration was like coming out with Greek nuances, I suppose, and finding the humour. Mm. Or if something happened in the news, I would, especially around that time, Trump was in the news a lot. Mm-hmm. And
comedy gold, right? Just
the
endless.
The things he says, like, you can create so much from it. And I think thanks to Trump, My page exploded.
There you go.
So who would have thought? But when you do use controversial figures like Trump, mm-hmm. you get the people that get it and why you're using him. And then you get the people that are like, oh, my God, I hate him. Why are you using him? He's not Greek. He's this. He's that. I'm like, I don't support him. I just find what he said hilarious because he's funny. What he says is I'm not relating to the actual person. Yeah. I'm finding the better part to it. But you get that. If anyone that's controversial, if you create a meme from that person, you're going to get the people that get offended. And I'm like, guess what? If you get offended, nothing happens.
Yeah, wow. So you do get a lot of people that come back. What are they? Do they write to you personal?
Oh, both. So it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
So I'll get people, if I use like Trump, Biden, I couldn't give a rat's about American politics. Mm. Like us Australians, no, we laugh at their politics. However, the Americans that do follow me that have their favourable party will get upset depending on which party they're at. They support, basically will either inbox me their feelings. Mm-hmm. And we're talking like silly this, like listen to this. This is why, like trying to get me on their side. I go, look, dude, I don't vote. Like I'm not American. I don't care. I just think.
It's far more tribal over there, isn't it? In a way that isn't the same here, is it?
I don't think Greek Australians get that hung up on the actual celebrity. And one time I used Kanye when he was in the news as a meme and everyone was trying to cancel him. And to be honest, I can't say I hate the man, but I can't say I know much about him to love him as an artist, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I used him and then everybody that was opposed of everything that he was saying and with the Gelma, I suppose, he was saying some pretty crappy stuff in the news. But I accidentally used him as a meme, not thinking it was funny.
Yeah.
Because, yes, I do laugh at my own jokes.
And if it doesn't please you, I mean,
it won't please
the
masses, right? So I posted it without putting much thought into it, which I try not to these days. But anyway, he then, this particular man came to me and was trying to prove their points to why I'm an awful person for posting Kanye. Sometimes I just don't respond to those sorts of messages. But sometimes if I've got Audixie and the kids have gone to bed, I'm going to respond. And I go, so why are you so offended? Like, what happened now to you that you saw my meme? And I'm like, nothing happened, did it?
I mean, that's what the Euros queen Kelly was saying on the show as well. She's like, poverishkun etin orexi,
proi, proi.
Like, why?
Like, just keep scrolling. Like, you don't agree, keep going. Like, I'm not going to please everyone.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at this.
So what do the Greeks in Greece think of your memes? Do you get any? I'm sure you're going to get lots of positive.
If I do history posts, I capture them. Some of the memes, if I do it more of a... Yeah, it just depends. If it's something about growing up Greek in Australia, they're probably like, I don't understand what they're talking about. What's this WOG thing? What's this? You know, they don't really get it.
Yeah, but they don't respond in a negative
way. No,
They just don't get it.
They don't get it, but they just go, bravo, korizimo. Yeah. You know, you're just spreading Greek. Just keep doing it. I don't get it, but just keep doing it. Which, you know.
And what about Australian, Greek Australians? Do you get anything from them?
Yeah, a lot. Like
negative stuff?
Oh, no, positive stuff.
I can imagine.
The Aussies are more positive. I find the Greek Americans get upset about silly stuff.
Maybe it's an Australian culture thing. We're not very politically minded. We're into our sport.
Yeah.
We do have our politics, but we don't get into it in a passionate way.
And I have a strong following from America as well, but there's just a small percentage. What I'm saying, it doesn't happen often. It only happens, it's a very small percentage.
1% of the time.
Yeah. If I'm going to get trolls, it's going to be people that aren't Greek, especially if I get into history.
Yeah.
If I get into history, and I'm known to bite back. If I do something about baklava.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I see.
You know who's going to be in my comment section.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just talking about baklava. I didn't say anything else. Like the whole region eats baklava.
Isn't it funny, though, how territorial and how crazy people get about the origin of food?
But I get upset because it's not ours and it's not theirs either. So if you want to go back in time, baklava's origins come from Assyria.
Mm.
So it's neither of ours, but yeah. we've adopted it and we love it. So let's just leave it to that.
Mm. We've critiqued it, you know. We've
Greek coffee, Ellinikos cafes, that came from Yemen.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. And Ottoman officer was stationed there, took it back to Constantinople.
Mm.
And that's how it all spread. But it's not Turkish coffee. Then in Turkico, then in Liniko, it's we should just call it cafe and just be done with it.
Wow, I didn't know that. Do you know that, Tom?
I'd heard a little bit about that. And I mean, it's just interesting, though, because we've dabbled in this sort of space before. You know, we did the episode with Mary and with Peter Canistas and David Tsourekas on Greek food. Mm. And one of the most controversial things that came out of that episode was the discussion about moussaka and its origins.
Yeah.
And there was an article about it.
Yeah.
On a
Greek City Times.
I think it was. And then National Geographic picked that up. And we only found out late last year.
They picked it up from the podcast, I think.
Yeah. Well, someone emailed us and said, hey, did you know that National Geographic wrote about you guys?
There you go.
But yeah, there was some strong reactions about the interpretation of the origins and whatnot, because Peter Canistas, who we all know is a fantastic Greek Australian chef, and Tsourekas, who's done a lot of work on, you know, the history of dishes and whatnot, both were categorical. It's not necessarily a Greek dish originally.
Hmm.
It's come from somewhere else. We've reinterpreted it. And people just went batshit crazy over that. It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Quick, go back to the beginning. Can you tell us where your parents are from, where your ancestors are from?
Yeah.
We always do this with a lot of our guests.
Of course. So my dad's from Kerkira.
Here we go.
Corfu.
Here we go. Settle down, Tom.
And
get
my
back in your seat, Tom.
This doesn't happen often. We talk about it a lot, but it never happens.
My mother's from Lesvos, and I have Asia Minor roots. So my mother's father, his side, came from Ayvali, which is directly across from the island of Lesvos in now modern Turkey. Because of my roots, I have deep dived into the Greek genocide that happened 19th century. So I'm very passionate about the Greek genocide. So a lot of people...
Is this related to your grandparents' village?
Yeah, so my great-grandfather, my Papu Stavro, his father George, fled Ayvali. Back in those days, everyone had dozens of children. So he had dozens of siblings, various ages. So the older ones got to flee with their mother.
Yep.
The younger ones got kidnapped. So his brothers and sisters, they were like all of children.
Kidnapped by the Ottomans.
Yep.
Yep.
All young Turks. His father refused to leave. So his father was beheaded in front of his whole family.
Mm.
And that was a story that he always told. My mother got to tell me the story. I never actually got to meet him. He died the year I was born, so I didn't get to meet him. However, and he still lived in Greece, so we couldn't get there in time. But my mum told me about the family history. However, my babu, he never liked to talk about it. And the reason why he never liked to talk about it is because he wanted to identify as someone from Lesvos, because as a child, his father was seen as a refugee and a xeno.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though they were Greek, they weren't treated as Greek, like Greeks. Mm. They were treated as outcasts. Yeah, so he just wanted to assimilate and be done with the past and not talk about it. So I couldn't get a lot out of my papu until his last years, when he got sick, and I did a lot of one-on-one with him, and he would tell me more about his, you know, life and stuff. And that's when I wanted to know more. And I was very confused, because all the information out there at the time, we're talking nearly 15 years ago, was all about the Pontian genocide. Because they've done a fantastic job about getting the message out there and the awareness out there what happened to that region. However, I was like, hang on a sec, so are we Pontian? No, we're from Asia Minor, but... you know, this is our village and this is what happened and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but there's not a lot of information. And then I came across, I think it was in 2010, a website called the Greek Genocide Resource Centre. And I got to know the man that runs that website, Ari, and he has done incredible work to get all these resources out there. And he on his website, he had this book that actually has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of clippings of news articles of everything that was reported in that time. And it was everything that, like, your young people would have told you about the atrocities, but there was proof. And you could actually go out there and say, well, look, and the book is called After the Silence, I think, or Behind the Silence. I'll have to double check it with you. And I purchased it, and it's a very expensive book. It's probably as big as a standard size newspaper, and it's very thick.
So like a coffee table book.
Yeah. I've read it front to back. And whenever when I started posting about the Greek genocide, I would reference to those articles and also to Ari's website too. Yep. So the Greeks have done, I think, a sloppy job as well in getting the message out there too. We have three commemoration dates.
Yep.
So we've got one for Asia Minor, we got one for Thrace, and we've got one for the Pontians. So it all happened to all of us. Why do we have three commemoration dates? Why can't we be united? And it kind of bothers me a little bit because we are oiliness. Like, why are we separating ourselves? And it's division. I think it comes back to ancient times, because from ancient times, we've all rivaled each other. I'm from the south. I'm from the islands. I'm from Kipro. I'm from Crete.
It's a very regional mentality.
Isn't it? Like, and this regional rivalry is like our doom. Like, look at the Armenians. They've got one date and that's it. The Assyrians, one date. Why do we have three? The Greek government doesn't even recognize everything as a whole. And that we're talking, it's nearly past 100 years now, if you include all the regions. So that's why I keep talking about it.
Well,
I feel like people need to know.
No, that's great.
It's not the funny part of the page.
Yeah.
And
it's part of the cross-section of what makes our community. And this is something that we talk about as well. Like, there are so many different parts to our community, some of which we either agree with or support or don't. But it's part of this sort of tapestry of what this community is about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I post about the atrocities, I'll get Turkish nationals or just Turks that actually follow my page because they like our culture and can relate to our culture. Mm. They'll say, why are you mentioning the past and why are you bringing all this stuff up? And I'm like, just because I'm talking about what's happened, it's a history post. Mm. That doesn't mean my opinion of Turks is that I don't like them. It's something that happened, something that we talk about. Like on the anniversary of the catastrophe in Smyrna, they have it as a national holiday that they celebrate.
Yeah.
So what our demise is their celebration.
I think it's their national holiday, isn't it?
It is, because they see it as a liberation day.
Yeah.
We spent an entire episode on this with Panayoti not that long ago.
Mm.
Yeah. I was just wondering, like, that was that that organization the same one that Panayoti works with that did the book?
I don't know. He's one of the recognized genocide experts in Australia. So he not just Greek genocide, but he does other genocides as well.
Yeah. This is Panayoti Diamandir.
Diamandir, yeah.
Okay, yep.
When did we do the episode? Not too long. Anyway, late last year sometime. But yeah, it's one of our better ones, actually. Now, we got so many comments on that as well. But
it gets a lot of attention, it does. When I don't like to talk about it, like, because then it's a bit grim, like to keep talking and showing images and stuff like that. But when people want to know. They want to know what happened, and they don't want to forget their ancestors, especially those that came from these regions.
Yeah. But then, so you're saying we should have like a national day?
If it were up to me, I would call it the Christian genocide.
Okay.
Nice. Because it
sounds
didn't...
Sounds like a good politician, Christina.
Thank you. I wouldn't actually say Greek because it didn't just happen to us. They didn't target 100%. These people because they were Greek. They targeted them because it was religious war.
Yeah.
It was convert to us or like it was Turkification of the land. But they wanted to be the primary holders of the land.
Yeah.
They didn't care where you came from. They did it to the Armenians, they did it to the Assyrians, other minorities. They did it to Mount Lebanon.
Mm.
There's lots of regions there that aren't just Greek.
Yeah.
It was the Christian villages that perished. So if you add up all those numbers from all those different regions, we're going to come close to World War II numbers.
Yeah.
In the Holocaust. And no one ever forgets what happened there. Why are we forgotten?
And this is one of the things that we discussed, that we've been, and to your point, we've kind of been poor about telling that story and owning that story, haven't we?
We have, and maybe it is because we're very segregated.
Mm.
The Pontians just talk about theirs and Thracians talk about theirs and so forth. But
you raise a very interesting point. This is something we've spoken about many times, you know, about the potential divisions that happen in our community. We've said it so many times. It's so important that we do unite in many respects, because when we do, it really is our greatest strength, isn't it?
Isn't it? What happened to, I don't know if you were attending all those protests back when we had to fight for the North Macedonian name. Mm. Every Greek that I know was at those protests, whether you were in Melbourne or Sydney or Adelaide, we were at those protests because it was something, whether you're from Northern Greece or not, that was something that's like, that's our history. You can't take that. If we all have that mentality for everything, I think we'd be a stronger nationality. The regional rivalry is something that we all need to work on. Mm. But it, you know, you'll say apopoise kalamata. Don't you hear it straight away?
100%.
Don't you hear it? Like, why? What's with wrong with Batra. Kalamata? But what's wrong with kalamata? Yeah. Why are you saying that?
It's so true.
I'm thinking of Nick Geo now. Yeah. Look, I know what you mean, but look, I think because we've got such a rich history, you know, you might have people from Corfu, just they could be a country on their own. They got so unique culture and history. And we're from Ipidor, we got the same thing.
We were among the last to join.
Were you?
Yeah.
You and the Kazis?
I'm not sure about the Kazis, but one of my villages voted against unification.
Oh, really?
Yep. Didn't want to be part of it.
Our Gerkira didn't get. We never got run by the Ottomans. Mm. Gerkira were with the Venetians. The Venetians had occupation there, but they allowed us to be Greek. Sure, our dialect was probably a bit different to the rest of Greek after a few hundred years. But I'm also interested in genealogy as well and tracking back ancestors. And I find it extremely difficult to do my mother's side, being that she's from Lesbos and Asia Minor. I could only go back a certain amount of years.
How far back could you go?
I went back into the early 1800s, and that was only for one grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were late 1800s. My father's side, I went back early 1700s, and I'm not finished yet.
Wow, really?
And that's because the Venetians never destroyed our records. Mm. So what would happen on my mother's side is, where were the records kept? Churches. You would get married there. It would say, you know, who your father was, what your name was, date of birth, children, etc., baptisms. They would burn churches down. So all the records would also go.
Mm.
So it was extremely hard to, unless it was just that one-off church that didn't get destroyed.
Yeah.
But Gerkira, I've had so much, like, I'm like, oh, wow, I've got names. I've got who their siblings were. It's very, and the page that helped me do that was GreekAncestry.net.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Wow, so you Gregory.
Went online and did all this.
Yeah, yeah. And this is all through my page, just people I've met. So his name's Greg, and he's helped me track back my ancestry. So, yeah.
Wow.
But you can do it too. It's like Google search there. Yeah. You just go on, search your name, and you purchase your records.
You've done a little bit of that too, haven't you, Nick?
We did, yeah. So long story, because where we're from in Greece, we're from Suli in the mountains.
Yeah.
So the claim to fame is no Ottomans ever went to this area.
The Suli women were very fierce. They were like the ones from money.
She'd say, meet my sister and my mom.
They could belt him around the ears easily. Maybe.
Yeah, they've got Spartan blood.
They do. Yeah, they are.
Warrior blood, I should say.
Well, my mum's in her 80s now. She's still in the garden, walking around the block. Very, very strong woman. But we had, I met a guy on Facebook, and he said he reckons he went to Istanbul and got documents. So Ottomans did, some parts of the empire did keep really good documentation, and more for tax purposes.
Mm.
So I must admit, where we're from in Ipidor, they did have their culture. They had their church. So we had Ali Pasha there. And he was a big advocate of the Greek community, even though he was a Muslim. From what I read, he never built a Muslim mosque.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he promoted Christianity as well.
Interesting.
I only read that because I went to where he was born in Ipidor last year.
Oh, wow.
And there's a big script on it. I thought the Greeks hated him, but when I read that, they actually liked him because he let the Greek community be Greek.
Mm.
He built churches and so forth.
Okay.
But in Istanbul, there's a guy that collected all this documentation. It was tax records. And I said, do you have tax records for where my parents were from this mountainous village? And he goes, we do. But it was all written in Arabic.
Okay.
And it was all handwritten. So I've got to get a Google translator for it. I didn't purchase all of it. I said, look, give me a sample. I get a bit suspicious with stuff like that. When people come online,
when you
sell your stuff, really? Yeah. So he's given it to me. I'm going to try and he give me a snapshot. He said their names of all the couples that lived there and all the bachelors that lived there. And it was purely for tax reasons. So the Ottomans would come back and say, we want X amount of money. If you got, you know, all the males have to pay this much, females have to pay that much, that sort of stuff. So those records are there. And it was back to 1500s. Yeah,
that 15. Far back, eh?
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, but yeah, look, I'm glad you reminded me of it. I might get off my ass and do something about it this time around.
It's really interesting, though, as well, that we, particularly us in the diaspora, or here, particularly here in Australia, that we actually go looking for stuff like that. Because in Greece, I've found they're not that interested in it. No. Have you found that?
So I'll tell you one thing I discovered. So the Horio that my father's from, a lot of the people from that Horio are called Armeni.
I've got a few Armeni that's in my family.
Yeah, well, because in the 1500s, the Armenians fled from Ottoman occupation, and they knew that Gerkira was free of Ottomans, and they settled in villages there. But they assimilated very well to the Greek culture.
Did they what?
And they didn't say, no, we're Armenian Greeks. They said, no, well, no, now we're Greeks. And after a few generations, their surnames are Armeni, but they didn't know why. They just thought, well, that's our name. Wow. But if you dig back, that's the origins of their name.
Mm.
They were migrants or refugees from Armenia.
And imagine what Greek music would be like without the Armenians now. All the best bouzouki luthiers, for example, are all Armenian. The greatest one, you know, like the Stradivarius of the bouzouki was Joseph Terzivasian, who was an Armenian.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You Can you imagine not having that guy there?
Get the Armenians.
Yeah.
There you go.
My cousin married an Armenian. Shout out to Leo and Lena.
But it is interesting, isn't it, that we, you know, what is it you think that drives us to actually go looking and going in search of all this stuff? Because, again, every family member that I've got here is actually interested in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do we do that? Is it just that we're interested in it? Are we trying to find a bit of ourselves? What is it?
I think we want to belong somewhere. Because when we go to Greece, we're Xeni. And in somewhat ways, we're Xeni here too, even if you're born here.
If you're Australos and here you're Greek.
Yeah, Greek. You're a wog.
Yeah.
Mm. Can I say that word?
Of course.
We heard it a few times last night.
I said it about 20 times yesterday.
This is just a derogative word. It's a word that shouldn't be said. But
I think we can get away with it.
Yeah, we can say it to each other, but if a non-wog were to say it, then it's not okay.
Yeah.
If someone said to me, you're a wog in that direct term, I wouldn't be happy. But I think that's what it is. I think we want a sense of belonging. We want to say, this is where we've come from. This is where our roots are from. You hear all our Anglo mates, oh, you know, I was related to the Queen. We can go far back there. We don't really have that. And I think we long for that. You know, my ancestors was Ned Kelly.
Yeah.
Were they really cool? Well, we're Alexander the Great.
Yeah. You're right. Everyone just wants a story.
They want a story to tell. And I think there's not much history of us here yet. Mm. So that's why we dig deep back home.
Very good point.
Yeah, because you're right. In Greece, they don't do that. I had uncle who was virtually decorated in the Greek army through World War II. He had medals and everything. And he had him in his sock drawer. Like, Phil, what's a
door
there?
Yeah,
no, like, here we got parades and... Yeah. You know, we got Anzac Day.
Scupidia.
Well, funny you say that. He showed me a photo and he had a German World War II outfit on.
Oh,
like a sergeant. Well, I go, Phil, where's the, have you got it? And he goes, oh, we threw it out like 5 years ago. I thought, what?
Like it's a Halloween costume.
Yeah. And he goes, I didn't realise you like all that stuff. And I said, mate, I love all that World War II. And he goes, bit him in. And he went out the back and there was, you know how they have those ice cream buckets when the tap's dripping outside to collect the water? He had a World War II helmet collecting the water. I go, Theo, I didn't have to. And he got it out of the mud. He cleaned it up. And he painted it. So I've got it at home.
He upcycled his uniform.
He did.
Yeah. So he goes, have this. And he goes, I had other stuff. I had a dagger. I thought, fuck.
Can I just say, though, I would love to see what would have happened if he still had that uniform. He'd given it to you and you tried to get it through customs. Can you imagine that conversation?
Oh, I think the Greek government would have something to say about that now.
Yeah, but they wouldn't check it in Greece.
Yeah.
But arriving here, you better believe they would.
Who's this guy? I don't know what condition it was in, but...
Sir, can you explain this?
But the thing was, he actually shot the guy. He killed him.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that's how he got it.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a trophy back then. Oh. Yeah, so they were from the... They were resistance groups. Remember the, I don't know if I told you, the Sarande and Yat Baramithia, the Germans He was part of that group.
Wow.
So they hunted down the guy that dobbed, so a Greek Muslim virtually dobbed in the Greeks that were living in Paramythia. And the Germans made him dig a big trench and they just shot them all. So he was part of the group that hunted this Greek Muslim down.
Got him.
And they found him and they got him. And the better thing was he was telling me the story as we were walking through it. So where did they die? And he goes, look behind you. And there was a massive monument. All the names were the same. Well, a lot of them were very similar. I go, did you know any of them, Phil? And he goes, yeah, because that was my best mate. There are his two sons. There are three brothers. This is a father, a son, and a grandson. He rattled off all the names. And I said, what did you do to the guy? I go, did you end up catching him? As we did. And we got him. We found out who he was. We took him out in the bush where they were hiding. And then they did a trial. They said, why did you do it? Did they have a gun to you? They threatened your family. And the way his responses were, it was just out of pure greed. He just wanted to, the Germans offered him that community to take over this region, and they shot him. I go, where did you shoot him? He goes, I kept on walking. I thought, shit. Anyway, so he started to walk up this hill, and he was looking through these weeds, okay, to get dust, and he found remnants of a fig tree, and he goes, oh, it was about here. He goes, around here there was a massive fig tree. So we tied him up here, and we shot him. I thought, wow, true story. And then I Googled it, and it did come up. So whatever he said and was all true.
Was it all accurate? Yeah.
See, this was back in 95, right? This was when I went. I was young, in my 20s. And I didn't think much of it, but I wrote a diary. So I wrote all this down in my diary.
That's good that you did that.
Yeah.
And then I read my diary. Shit, I'm going to look this up, Google it, and it all came up. You can look it up, the 49 at Paramythia that died. And they go into a bit more detail. And I forget the term they use, but they're Muslim Greeks. I don't know if they call them Samides or something like that.
I think I know what you're talking about, but I just can't think of the word now. Yeah. There is a term for them.
Yeah, but then they all ended up leaving after World War II. But yeah, true story. I don't know how we got onto that, but...
Yeah, it's getting deep.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously all of this stuff, it's part of your identity and all, you know, your interest in the history and your origins and whatnot. How much of that really creeps into the stuff that you do every day with the page, for example?
Often. But the main page is all about finding humour with our nuances. So I'll find a trending video or photo and I Greekify it.
Yep.
Some people don't understand that. They're like, why have you used that person? You know, they're not Greek. And I'm like, oh, darling, it's a meme. It doesn't matter. And then I'll just inject the history here and there. So I don't overwhelm people with history this, history that. But if there's something that I feel is important, that I found interesting, I would post it.
Yeah. So can you give us an example of the type of post you're talking about now for those who maybe haven't seen what you do?
Anything from commemorating dates of Greek Revolution figures, like, you know, obviously your Bubulinas, your Kolokos, all that standard stuff. But then I like to find things that are a little bit more uncommon and like the Minoan culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're kind of mysterious to me.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll look into, you know, things that they came up with. There's also, what's that disc? There's a disc that was found in Crete, and it's from apparently the Minoan time. The name just escapes me now, and it's never been deciphered. They've made replicas, and people wear this disc as like jewelry.
Yes, I know the one you're talking
about. It's like the PH or...
Phaistos disc.
Phaistos disc, that's
good
it.
Good job, Nick.
And
10 points.
That fascinates me. An Italian archaeologist apparently found it in the early 1900s, and I'm like... What does it say? It's not it's not the Greek alphabet or ancient Greek. It's before that. Yep. I mean, it could be a shopping list for all we know.
Yeah.
But
it's nothing.
Yeah, it could be nothing. But it's something that people find mysterious and interesting. And when I do post about, like, oh, when I went to Crete, I made that into a ring or I made that into a... And I'm like, you're carrying around this ancient, it could say nothing, it could have like the secrets to life on there. Yeah. We don't know. But I find things like that very interesting. And, and I try and find little things about our past as far back as I can go and I post about them. So that's one. Another one would be the Greek genocide, of course. And then I try and find the origins of things. We're very patriotic and we like to claim everything. Yes?
No, of course. No. We don't do that,
but it's all true.
Most of it is,
right?
But sometimes we've taken things from somewhere, made it better.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Like, for instance, the Bastizio.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Greek, guys.
What?
It's not.
Where's
it's
it from?
Tell us.
It's Venetian.
Okay.
So
I guess with the creamy sauce, I thought maybe French.
The bechamel, that did come from a French-trained Greek chef, but the actual dish, the pasta, it was actually adapted from a Venetian dish, and it was Venesaco Bastizada or something like that. It's a Kerkireko dish. And
shock.
And noblemen used to eat it. So not the peasants. So only if you were a nobleman, you would eat this dish. And then this cook took inspiration from it. And, yeah, that's how Bastizio came along. But it's not rooted from us. The Italians love that story. The Italians love that story. They're like, yep, you got it from us, of course.
So what was the backlash for that particular one from Greeks?
No, they were like, oh, really? That was fine. The Italians, so they were okay with that, yeah. Like. And then they'll tag in their Italian friends or something like that. But, you know, ha, ha, ha. But, hey.
The Venetians are northern Italian. Is it the southern Italians that are claiming it? Or?
All the, like, any Italian would want to claim that. But we've got one on the Italians.
Oh, here we go. Good.
So we invented pizza.
Yeah, we've heard this. This has come up a few times now.
Okay,
yeah,
you elaborate.
The Italians hate that.
Yeah.
So it was a
Is that a fact?
Well, I'm going to go
with
it.
You know. Tell us what you know first.
Well, I'm a critical thinker.
Yeah.
So
good. Love it. You're very Greek.
I'll put everything together.
We're all open-minded.
I piece the puzzles and we just go from there.
Yep.
So apparently in southern Italy, there was a Greek settlement that invented, was the town that invented pizza, I think near Naples.
Mm-hmm.
They say it was, you know, Naples was where it originated from, but the actual town was a Greek settlement.
Yep.
So Greeks invented it.
There you go. We'll
internet,
take it.
Internet says the same thing.
Yeah, so.
There is historical evidence that the ancient Greeks ate flatbread called plakous.
That's right,
topped with olive oil, herbs, onion, cheese and garlic and then baked in a mud oven.
Mm-hmm.
Since Naples was founded as a Greek city, modern pizza may be part of the Greek lineage of flatbread dishes.
Yeah. I'm taking it.
If you want to upset an Italian, tell them that. Like, they get mad.
Wow.
Hello to all our Italian friends.
But all good banter. Like, we love that banter. It's like that una razza, una fazza thing we do with
brothers
them.
And sisters.
You know, it's like we just like to ruffle their feathers.
Well, they do it to us. So.
Yeah, of course.
It's only a bit of banter. So what's been one of your most popular memes out there? So you've only had some, and again, we've read all a lot of them, and I like your history ones, but what's one of your most popular ones?
From last year, so 2023, I can tell you them, because there's been a fair few. So the ones, actually put my face to this one, and it did quite well. I sat in my parents' good saloni.
Okay.
The good saloni.
And it was a trending
with
audio.
With a plastic on it?
Well, the plastic's off now,
okay.
But it's still the reupholstered Franco Cozzo.
Okay.
They can't let it go. They've reupholstered. They want to, like, just hold on
so
to it.
So who's Franco Cozzo? Is that a Melbourne thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, he just passed away.
Yeah. So Franco Cozzo was...
legend.
He furnished all of Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, Frankie.
That good saloni was... He's responsible to every Italian and Greek in Melbourne. That's where you would go and buy your epipla from. Sepulima.
Wow.
And his ad was in, he would say it in Greek and he would then say it in English. And we would just, even kids growing up, we would be like, Sepulima from Brunswick to Footscray. Like it was like, it's just iconic here in Melbourne.
Wow.
So when he passed away, I even posted about it. I was like, oh man.
Maybe that's right.
I was like, he's gone. No.
So is he Greek or Italian?
He's
or
Italian,
both?
But apparently he's got Greek heritage from a mother or grandmother. I can't remember reading something. But look, he's actually Italian. But yeah.
He might be one of those Calabrian Greeks.
Maybe.
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a whole episode on that.
Yeah, they've got a whole different dialect.
They even featured him on the block a few years ago. Like when they were furnishing, you know, the houses, they had a challenge, and they said, yeah, you've got to do your own Franco Cozzo room, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hilarious.
Wow.
Loved.
So that was your most popular meme, was it?
One of my most populars. Another one was Adiros, Costantinos Adiros.
Yeah.
Last year he was doing these things where he'd film himself singing, driving in his car.
Oh.
And then I dubbed myself, edited myself in as like I'm in the car with him, just like wondering why is he singing, like who are you singing to? And that was probably one of my most popular ones because it was not that it was strange. Like shout out Daddy Udog, good for you. But he was just singing in the car and he's driving and the wind's going through his locks of Greek hair. You know,
he is a beautiful man.
He's a good looking
boy. He's a beautiful
boy.
Man. Let's be honest, but. Yeah. He was singing to someone in the car and I was then edited myself in and I'm like, what are you doing? That was quite popular. I can't remember how many views, but it was one of my popular ones.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually liked your, I think it was your husband got an invite to a Christmas party and
that,
it had his
yes,
name
that
and
one
Ella.
Too. That's a real story.
Yeah.
Yeah. We almost divorced.
So funny.
So he's come home. My husband's like, well, whatever. He's just chucked it. Here, we got an invitation. And I'm looking at the envelope. I'm like, what? Who's Ella? And he goes, what? He didn't even look at it. And we've had this back and forward now. Like, what do you mean? Who's Ella? Like,
who's Ella invited with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. And none of us are putting, like, the puzzle together yet.
Yeah.
So he's called his work colleague up saying, hey, mate. Well, my wife's about to leave me. Yeah. Like,
and her name's not Ella.
Yeah, her name's not Ella. What's going on? We were like, can you just explain? I've got you on speaker, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's thinking now, he goes, mate, like every time you speak to her on the phone, you say, Ella. And I didn't know how to articulate that except to just say it in the video. It's funny
that
now.
Was so funny.
It's funny now, but at the time I was quite annoyed.
I just felt sorry for your husband. And, fuck, what
he's,
have I done
but
now?
Like oh, now that bloke. I look back, he's looking at me with these like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Because he didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So be honest now. Since that happened, how many times has your husband said something to you and you've just been like, go and ask Ella?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ella is definitely a big funny joke in our household.
What would
now.
Ella think about this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the colleague now goes, Ella, like, you know, because he's an Ella. Lot. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And that's where I get my inspiration from. Not just things that happen to me, but like family and friends and we just...
Yeah. What's the most low-hanging fruit in your family? Like there must be people that you look at and they're just like, this is comedy gold. This is a vault of stuff that I can use for the next 10 years.
Look, I'd have to say, and my family that would listen to this would probably agree.
You're about to out this person.
I'm going to out them. I'm not going to name names, but I'm just going to say one thing and they'll know who I'm talking about. Yeah. My Yaya sister is comedy gold.
Yeah.
You know, she's the type of person that would get offended where she's seated in a wedding. She's the type of person that, you know, all those jokes is her. Like all those like negative toxic jokes about Greek culture is her. Like she's the one. Like she's so opposite to my yaya. My yaya was the type of person that butter wouldn't melt in her mouth. Like she would just be the sweet old lady feeding everyone. And his sister would feed everyone too, but her food was better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I just love that thing, though, about the wedding that you said.
I was going to say, we've had a family fallout. I know of a family fallout because the
credit
position
grudge.
Of the table wasn't was one row back instead of, you know, you should have been prime location. It was full on. And that was the gossip of the wedding. Hang on, we just celebrated it. Nah, look where the – then everyone looks at it. As soon as you walk in. where are they sitting? Why are they sitting there and we're here? I thought we're closer to the room than you guys.
Or if, like, the other side of the family gets a better trapezi, you know, it's like, oh, start a grudge.
That is the best. We love
Why are we like that?
I don't know.
But it's funny. We love it.
Oh, jeez. What makes a good post then? Have you sort of started to articulate what it is that makes up a post that's going to be successful for you? Or what sort of criteria do you put it through before you say, yep, this is going out?
Childhood. So if I do anything about Greek school...
That's a winner.
That's a win. Yeah. Like I know, like if I find a video that can be relate back to Greek school, which I did one actually, that was like one of last year's top performing memes. And it was a scene from a movie of an interrogation and the police officer or FBI agent, whatever it is, he was like getting the man, he was slamming him on the table, and the guy's going, I don't know. And then I'm like, I said, well, you can't identify with all the sounds, like, you know, the yotta itta.
Yep. There's five of them, isn't there?
Yeah, of something. And it's like, I don't know which one. He's like, you do know.
Classic.
And I think we've all been there because Greek isn't our first language. So having to learn it as a kid and trying to get everything right, and let's not get into the tono, like trying to figure out where that goes. Like, no. Yeah.
It's always hard when you see a last name. Yeah. And it's all capitalized. And it's like, shit, where does it go now, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that I sound, stresses so me. Five I's in Greek.
Yeah.
In Greek language.
Yeah.
EI, the H, the little I. What's the other one?
The epsilon iota, the omicron iota. And there's also an ancient Greek one too that I didn't even know about, and that my followers made me aware of. They're like, you're also missing out on this one. And I can't remember now to tell you.
So is that a sixth?
Yeah. So like in ancient Greek texts or in more articulate Greek. Yeah. Like, how do you know what to do?
Fuck me. Yeah. I don't know. Classy. Oh. So your name, are you even Greek? How did you come up with it? Is there a story behind that?
Sort of. So mm-hmm. I didn't know what name to come up with. Mm-hmm. My sister said, how about you call it Are You Even Greek? Because the punt of all, like the start of all my jokes with family was like, are you even Greek? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know? And she's just call it that. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even put any thought to it. I think if I could sit down now, I would come up with a better name. but everyone seems to like it, and I've just gone with it. And I think it's too late to change it now.
Yeah. Even the Foo Fighters have said that. You know, Dave Grohl was like, if I had more time to think about it, I would have changed the name because it's the dumbest name ever.
I honestly didn't think it was going to become a page of such interest.
Yeah.
I had worked with social media, and I had, you know, did a little bit of marketing in the past and helped businesses grow their social media. But I didn't actually realize the knowledge I had was going to help it grow to this.
Mm.
I just thought, yeah, I'm just going to have some fun. Probably, I don't know, 500 followers, what?
Yep.
And then, yeah, it just exploded.
So how many is there now as of
I'm nearly at 100,000. And to be honest, 2023, I didn't post a lot.
Mm.
I had a very personal, busy year with family and work that I couldn't dedicate that much time to it anymore. Yep. So I think I would have hit 100,000 in August if I had put in the effort that I had been putting in. But so a lot of planning goes involved to grow a page, of course.
Yeah, of course.
So 2024 is going to be a little bit more organized. Yeah, so who knows? I'm nearly at 100K. I'm like a few hundred off.
What was your reaction when you first started seeing this page is actually growing? What the hell is going on?
I was in shock. I was like, what?
Was there a moment where you were like, shit, this is working and I don't know why it's resonating?
So I'm like, well, that's why my clients were paying me because that's what I would do. And I'm like, so my theory works.
Yeah.
There you go.
So it's more of a test bed really for you to say, well, I know my shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just have to find relatable content. Be consistent. Find your niche, yes, but that's important. Like, you need your niche, but just be consistent and just keep posting. So sometimes I might not find something that funny and they perform the best.
Yeah.
Or my husband will say to me, oh, that's hilarious. And I'm like, no, I don't know. He's like, just post it. It's funny. And then I'll post it. And then I find out that it performed, like, I'll go to sleep and then I wake up and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So
who's the tiebreaker? Like, if there's any doubt in your mind?
My husband, definitely. I'd be like, oh, does this make sense? Like, do you get this? And he's like, yeah, I get it. And then, like, he'll either say, scrap that one.
Yeah.
And if he's not available, my sisters. Okay. I'll test.
Yeah. So it takes
a village. And Michael Butters too. Yeah. Like, because that was the group chat that helped me out with the initial push, so it was my sisters, Michael Butters, and like they probably thought, fuck, stop sending this to WhatsApp, man. I don't care about Colocotroni anymore.
Yeah.
Classic.
Well, let's talk about social media in general, because I mean, we had a quick discussion just before we started recording, but I mean, it really has changed everything in a lot of respects. In some instances, in a good way. In many ways, bad. What's your relationship with social media now? And you know, personally, I mean, obviously, you work in it. You know your stuff about it, and you've got this page. But how do you see it now?
I have a love-hate relationship with social media. Mm. So I like it. I like what initially was created for, but I don't. That's why I only have. When I first started the page, I was anonymous for a good 9 months. No one knew who ran the page. Like, I had people following me, like family members. I didn't know that it was me.
Really?
Yeah. Only my close circle knew who it was, and you know, a few extra others, but no one knew who I was. And I would find it entertaining. Like, exes would follow, like, you know, and I'm like. Told you I was funny.
Classic.
You know. and then, when I revealed myself, I think it was like 9 months, because it had gotten so popular, people wanted to interview me, and they're like, can we put a face behind the name of the page?
You were like the Stig on top.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, what do I do? And then I was saying no to a lot. And I'm like, oh, no, like, it wasn't, like, something I thought was worth coming out for.
Mm.
And then Connecting Greeks with Angelo Tsaruhas approached me, and it was in my outbox for I don't know how long.
Oh,
and I was clearing out all the – because you get heaps. Like, you have to – sometimes you can't keep up. Like, it's
check
a job.
Check your domain names, Ange. Come on, mate.
Yeah, no, so it was like a job in itself. So the boys had said, hey, you know, we've got this podcast and, you know, we'd love to have you on the show, blah, blah, blah. And I went, that means I have to, because I knew they were on YouTube. Like, that means my face is going to, oh, my gosh. And then I'm like, do I say no? Do I just open that channel there? And then my husband and I were talking about it for a long time, and he was very supportive of it. But I can get really shy. Like, if you put me on the spot, I could just become, I don't know, like, I'm unpredictable. You're very lucky today. I can't stop talking.
You've only had a few sips. This is good. Very impressive.
But, like, I remember at Michael Butter's wedding, like, I'm notorious for getting stumped. Like, if I'll sit there and I had to do the speech, and then I'm just like, I just blank. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. Am I going to be okay? He says, you'll be fine. You don't have a big crowd in front of you. You'll be fine. Anyway, so it was fine. I think I'm a bit better at public speaking now.
You're killing it right now.
Sounded to us.
Could have fooled it.
So that's why I said yes. And then I said, well, I don't want to reveal my whole identity. And people that do know me and have me on my private social media know that. So I said, listen, guys, this is my page. I know you follow me, but this is who's behind it.
Yep.
And I will not reveal my surname, my family, where we're from, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to go on this podcast. I'd love if you could support my page, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I just revealed Christina as the person that runs Are You Even Greek? But
maybe that's not her real name either.
Maybe.
Good question, Tom.
It's not a question. I'm just throwing it out there. No, you just never know.
So no, it's Christina is my name.
Okay.
But it's not my. I won't reveal my surname at this stage.
But at any point in the conversation with Ange and the boys there, did you think, how can I get around this in a creative way? Like, did you think, I don't know, put a Spartan helmet on or something and do
no,
and
I
distort
did.
Your voice?
I did. So so my stepfather has a complete, he's from Sparti, and he has a complete Spartan. Yeah, in the good Saloni.
So I'm close to the money here.
Yeah, you are.
I was like, should I put like a persona? Like, what do I do? Like, when I was like, I want to talk on it, but I don't want to reveal my identity. And I'm like, should I put the helmet on?
Yeah, yeah.
And then my husband goes, babe, just you're either going to do it or you don't.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the roots of how this page began. But, yeah, 2024, I think you'll be seeing a bit more of me. I'm looking at expanding what we've been doing and kind of getting out there a bit more, especially with the Melbourne Greeks. I want to celebrate more about our culture, because we've got the largest population of Greeks outside of Athens. And
even more than Thessaloniki?
Oh, Thessaloniki, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Because I hear that a lot. So what is it per capita? Because I know there's more Greeks in Melbourne.
If you add up every city in America, they probably have more Greeks in whole.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about cities, we win.
Okay.
Yeah, you walk down the street here.
Toronto has a Greek town, I hear. I think New York has something like Queens, I think they call it.
Astoria.
Yeah. Astoria. What does Melbourne have? Does it have anything like that?
So we used to have Lonsdale Street. That's quite limited right now, but like in its heyday. Oakley. Now it's Oakley.
Okay, I forgot.
So Oakley. Oh, you have to. Yeah, you must.
I've never been.
Yeah, you have to go
have
to
Have you
Oakley.
Never been?
Never been. No. Wow. I hear a lot about it.
So the Euros Queen came and met me in Melbourne not long ago, and I said, Oakley, hun, we're going to Oakley. I'm like, have you been? She's like, not yet. I'm like, well, I'm taking you. And I took her to meet me, and we had... Souvlakia Sfinakia.
Nice. What?
Yes.
Hang on. Meet Me is the name of it.
Meet Me is the establishment, the actual souvladziviko.
Yeah.
I recommend this because you get to try everything on the menu. So they give you a little, they're like mini gyro.
Okay.
And there's Sfinakia glasses and little wraps in there of everything on the menu. And you get to try everything.
So souvlaki degustation tasting menu. Fantastic.
Yeah, but
and we've got dessert covered, I think you said.
You can't really go wrong with anywhere there. Like if you can't get a table somewhere, you're going to eat well. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall during that conversation, though, between you and Kelly. Fantastic.
Well, look, you can ask her because she came down and we were having like a great time and then... Because this is who I am. I just started giving her a lesson on Pavlos Melas. Like, this is just how I am. I'm just like...
Fantastic.
Yeah. So our conversation from, ha, 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 you know, ha, ha, ha. And then, you know, Pavlos Melas, he liberated Macedonia.
Wow. Have some history with a side of
Souvlaki. Yeah. And then let's have a laugh. But Melbourne, I want to get more out there because I think Melbourne's history as well. Back in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, Greek culture in Melbourne was hot. Like the whole of Lonsdale Street and Russell Street, there was dozens of barakia. Unfortunately, they need to move it, in my opinion, because it's not really a precinct.
Is that where stalactites is?
Yes. Okay. And you see there's lines every night. Like it's a great establishment, but it's no longer a precinct. Like stalactites is just one. But there used to be dozens. Like, you used to bar hop.
Really?
Yeah. And people from other states would come just for our nightlife.
We need to talk about that. Because because, you know, coming from Sydney, and, you know, we will bash Sydney at a in a heartbeat, you know, it is fucking dead there at the moment.
Sydney.
And people come here to escape.
Shit nightlife.
I mean, tell people about, I mean, we can't get a drink past a certain time. I mean, here it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're complaining now because we have our hours shut down a bit too, but not
really?
Compared to, yeah, we used to be out till 7 in the morning back when I was in clubbing era.
Yeah, we're all the same.
You know, and the barakia were that. So we used to be like, oh, all right, let's... Like, for instance, it was Christmas Eve and there would be... was it Christmas Day? There was burloto. So there was this big night every Christmas and...
Burloto. Is that like a
so
burvelo?
Well, I think that's...
This might have been.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Does it mean anything? My Greek's not very good, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just like to have a crazy night.
Okay.
And we would... it was very notorious, like... Like you would go to your Christmas event with your family and then you would get either the older cousin or the young auntie to be the chaperone. Like, you know, we're going to go with them so it's going to be all right.
Okay. You know? The escort.
Yeah.
And safe.
Yeah, you know, and that's thing and taxi, you know, we'd all go and have like this real massive night. Oh, if I could do nights like that now, I don't think I'd be able to function. There was something to do every night of the week. Greek.
Yeah.
Not just normal.
And you said bar hopping. So one night you could go to half a dozen places.
So I'll give you an example. Russell Street and then Lonsdale Street. So where Stalactite is. And anyway, those shops there.
Yeah.
There was like a little laneway and that was Anokato was in there.
Okay.
Okay. And then just outside Anokato was Apocalypse. And that was... That was like one of the popular
little
ones.
Bars.
Just little bars.
No dancing.
No entry fee. In and out. Go have fun.
Go in, drink, cool music playing.
go across the road, you go to Nemesis. They were chockers. They were full. Yeah. Mm. Not just, you know, a few people in them. And it could be a Friday night, Thursday night. Obviously, the Saturday nights were the ones that went off. Mm. By 2002-ish, they had started to die off and a lot has started to close down. Mm. But they were open for, like, years.
Mm.
Most of the 90s. And then we had Gamma Bar open up, and that was on Chapel Street. And that was open up for many years too. Oh,
okay.
Honestly, like, we would all go there. We were young. Like,
where we're staying, Tom, is it near us? Is it still happening?
No, it's gone now. It's like, I think their apartments are all gone.
Okay. we're probably staying where it used to be.
Yeah, you're probably staying there. But that was the Greek culture. So you can imagine all these young neo-lea with Greek music, meeting Greek friends. A lot of people probably met their spouses there back then, you know.
Wow.
And a lot of people would come from interstate. Sydney and Adelaide in particular, I remember meeting people.
Definitely. Well, yeah, I would go down, but I wouldn't have a clue where we went, but we'd have some local Melbourne boys you'd meet. Hey, and we'd be drunk the whole time. I wouldn't have a clue where we ended up.
Yeah.
But remember, they were little tiny bars. Sometimes you're out on the footpath drinking or out on the street.
Yeah.
And you'd walk to another one. I don't know where they were, though.
It must have been there. That was the only area. So you would have been there. It was.
And now?
Now it's nothing. There's
no real Greek bars now.
No, so whatever you get in Oakley and then the one-off public holiday. But there's the Bouzoukia, Kinisi. So Kinisi, I think, back then was called Golonaki.
Okay. Yep,
and now it's called, and now it's moved and it's on Turek Road. And it's Kinisi. Track. I don't go often, so I forget.
We came about 10 years ago, I think it was, just to come for the Bouzoukia, I think it was. Because it's the closest thing you can probably get outside of
Greece. That's right, yeah. So all you have now is that the Bouzoukia here.
Yeah.
But when you know about the past, you're like, it
used to be good.
I can't go there again. Like, we'll take a break. When my husband and I went last to Greece, our friends there that had been to this particular place were saying, oh, we've got to go there and just wait. It's really good. And we're sitting there. It's 11 p.m. Half an hour goes by, the place is empty, and I'm like, all right, like, I can't eat anymore, the scusso. What are we? And then all of a sudden, midnight hits, and it's like a cartoon that flips, you know? You know,
DJ, like, dropped out of the ceiling.
Yeah, the lights turn blue, all these vodka bottles are coming out, like, all these people are coming in. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because Greeks are in bed till 9 p.m., don't they? You get out of bed at 9, 9:30, 10.
We had a ferry to catch. I'm like, well, we're not going to bed, are we?
Classic.
Like, the nightlife there is different.
So different.
Yeah.
Like what my wife said about when she first moved to Athens, you know, her sister, well, the first night before they went out, she goes to her, take sunglasses with you. She's like, why?
Yeah.
She goes, just take sunglasses with you. And they walked out of that place at like 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And went for a Vromiko.
Yes.
I was waiting for that.
You love that. You haven't had one, have you?
No, we didn't. You said we were going to have one in Corfu. We didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. We ended up having the gyro there.
Great gyro, by the way. But I never had a Vromiko. I don't think we could do it.
Sacrilege.
Now. There's no way I could stop till that night.
Well, you could have Vromiko here in Melbourne. After that's the extent the nightlife was at.
Ah.
You would be out all night and then go get a Vromiko and then go home.
The best. Yeah. So good.
Bloody yeah.
Hell. Times have changed, eh?
Tell your parents you're sleeping over your friend's house.
Done that a few times.
Yeah, they're bye.
So they won't ring you. Boy, sir.
Yeah, your mum.
Yeah, if they ring, I'm going to sleep at my friend's house
tonight. Yeah, I'm at Effie's house, mum.
Yeah. Then you ring and tell Effie.
Yeah. And Effie would tell her mum.
Yeah.
I'm at Christine's.
Good old days. Oh. There you go.
So beyond social media now and what you're doing, are there any plans to sort of expand what you're doing into other things? I mean, it's a pretty strong brand. Like, are you looking at doing anything
else? I'd love to expand it now. And like I said, just bring to light other Greek brands and for them to channel through me as well. I'd love that. But I would also somehow like to do more community work as well. So whether that's for Greek Australians or even just bringing causes like the Greek genocide more light.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So there's some of the things in the horizon. And I'd also like to show businesses as well how you can grow too. But I haven't quite figured out how I can link that with what I do here.
Because you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of work that goes into your memes. They look simple and easy, but you said you spend a lot of time creating them.
Well, you need to find something that's also trending, trending audios. There's a little bit more. It comes second nature to me now. But if for someone that just is starting, it can be a little bit, oh, why isn't it working? And
So it's not too long to create it. It's just more the ideas. Is that the
bigger issue? I mean, you can. Like, I find what I do a little bit more basic, but there's other creators out there that put in hours of creation in there. Like, they'll, you know, they've got proper software and they do other things. Like, even AI now is coming in. And
what do you use? Well, like, what do you edit on? What do you?
I just use CapCut. So basic. Like, honestly, I just use CapCut. That's it. Just edit it on there, and that's away you go.
Pretty self-sufficient.
And inside Instagram too. Apparently, Instagram rewards you for editing within the app.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. So, and
I've done a little bit of that actually. Trialed it.
I hate TikTok. I've got one. Instagram, people find you that are interested in you. The way TikTok, I think, from what I've understood, is anyone that TikTok thinks your content would be relatable to pushes it out there.
Yep.
And so, like, I'll get Albanians contact or comment on me and say, Kolokotroni, he was Albanian. And I'll be like, what? And I used to, when I had the time, fight with these people. And I'd say, well, why did he liberate Greece first? 1821, we got liberated. If he, Kolokotronis, was Albanian, why did it take Albania how many years? So 1912, I think, Albania got liberated from the Ottomans. Wouldn't he have gone to you first? And then you get crickets.
When they start like that, look, even I've heard memes, Alexander the Great's Albanian or whatever, you don't even get into it. Because there's no argument now, I don't think, for us. We don't even
know. No, same. My comeback now is wisdom has been chasing you, but you've been too fast.
Yeah.
We had Professor Paul Cartledge on the show late last year, and we just asked the question point blank. And if it comes out of his mouth, you can bet your ass he's right. You know, dispelled it. It's done.
Another it's done. That's it. Ticket, go.
Myth busted.
Classic. What about, mate?
Yeah. Well, so where can people find you for the record on Instagram? What are your tags?
Are You Even Greek on all social media platforms.
Fantastic. That's it. All right. Well, Christina, thank you so much for being here. And, I mean, that was a wide-ranging discussion. We covered a lot of stuff, didn't we?
No, you are. And you're very interesting, Christina. History, your background. Thank you. You're more of a historian, I think.
Well, yeah, I don't watch much TV, research. Do I?
I love your research. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys.
It's all about the passion. And that's something that I think we all share in the room. And that's something that we all of the guests and hosts and co-hosts and guest hosts have in common. You know, we're all sort of brought together by our Greek heritage. You know, that sort of desire to sort of promote it and for people to see it in a different light. So, look, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. You too, guys.
It's important. Thank you. UzoTalk@outlook.com is the email. Follow us on social media at UzoTalk and at Uzo_talk on most social media platforms or Instagram. Did I fuck that one up? I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
You did well.
At UzoTalk. Yeah, that's it.
Don't forget to like us. Give us a 5-star rating if you think we're worthy of it.
We're worthy.
We are. We're worthy. 5-star. So
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
And comments. Comments help us out as well with the algorithms, apparently. I don't know how all that works.
We'll show you. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Ακολουθήστε μας στο Soundees, στο Spotify, στο Apple Podcasts και στο Google Podcasts.